Perhaps for some of you here this morning, it may have been a while since you've been in church. That's okay. Don't worry about that. I'm not gonna single you out this morning. We're not here to point you out or anything like that. We're grateful you're here, glad to have you with us. All of us occasionally need to stop and take an assessment, if you will, evaluate ourselves, look at our lives, and perhaps you want to characterize it in the sense of reviewing ourselves. We often do this right at the end of the year as the new year is coming. You know, we look at things, maybe we want to change, we make a new year's resolution. And a lot of times with New Year's resolution, we last all the way like to the 6th on our New Year's resolution. Can I just confess to you, this year I didn't even make it past the 1st on my New Year's resolution, because I said before the New Year started I wanted to lose weight, and I didn't start till about the 28th or so of January. But I'd have lost weight, so it just was a little late in getting started. Perhaps some of you in your job, you deal or have dealt with annual review. Maybe some companies, I know they do it where they have you write your review and then they sit down and discuss it with you. Others have more of a format that they follow, and they're going to ask certain questions every year. They're going to deal with certain issues every year. So you go over those things, and regardless of whatever style of review you may have or have had in your profession, I don't know too many people who look forward to reviews. Most of us don't really enjoy those sort of things. When it comes to our health, it's good for us to have a review, a physical, if you will, every year. Honestly, I would have to confess, I would not be very good at that except for one thing. Because of the grateful gifts of churches like this one to our Georgia Baptist Mission Board, our Georgia Baptist Mission Board every year has a free wellness clinic for ministers throughout the state. It's held at Toccoa, has been held at Norman Park as well. And that allows folks like me to be able to go to have a free medical screening. And I mean, they do all sorts of blood work, do an at-rest EKG, of course, your blood pressure, a number of things that are available through that. Plus, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but your Georgia Baptist Mission Board also has two mobile dental units. We have two fully equipped dental offices on wheels. Volunteers, dentists volunteer to serve in those, and they have both of those set up at the wellness clinic so that we can get free cleanings while we're there, and if there's anything minor that needs to be done, a lot of times they can go ahead and take care of that while we're there. So because of that, because of faithful giving of churches like this, I'm able to make sure that I do have a physical each year. And this has been a blessing to us, because it was this past year when we found out that Janice was having issues with her thyroid. And I appreciate you continued prayers for her. Surgery next month, the 25th, so I appreciate your prayers on that. But these kind of reviews, even though sometimes we don't like the results we get from them, are often very helpful. In our spiritual lives, we need to do a review. But let's face it, honestly, when it comes to our spiritual lives, we just sort of prefer to just sort of go along and coast. We just sort of like to, you know, not really know. You know, I'm basically a good person. I can find plenty of people to look around and say, well, I'm better than them. But we really don't want to sit down and look deeply into the Word of God and review where we are in comparison to what God's Word says. That can be difficult. That can be hard. We don't like those kind of exams. We don't like to be told that we're doing wrong, but God wants us to know the truth. So I want us to take a look this morning at what John has to say that will help us with this review of ourselves today. Now, I do want to say, I did the traditional Easter text this morning in the sunrise service. If you were coming this morning thinking you were going to get the traditional Easter text in this service, I'm sorry. You're about 3 hours late. But I am going to share with you from God's Word. So 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. This is how we know that we know Him, if we keep His commands. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and yet doesn't keep His commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly in Him, the love of God is made complete. This is how we know we are in Him. The one who says he remains in Him should walk just as He walked. May the Lord add richly to the reading of His Word. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your love. We thank You that Your Word is absolute truth. God, not a truth among many, but the truth, the only truth we can depend on. God, help us to open our hearts and minds this morning Lord, may we hear from you, and God, help us not just to be hearers, but to be doers of your word. Help us to apply this truth today. God, I pray right now that I would decrease, that you would increase, and may your word, your truth be spoken here. It's in your precious name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to take a look at a personal spiritual review this morning, how to know if you really know him. Now, William Franklin Graham Jr. was born on November 7, 1918, just 4 days before the end of World War I. He was reared on a dairy farm near Charlotte, North Carolina, and he grew up during the Depression, and he learned the value of hard work and family there. At the age of 15, Billy Graham was in a revival service where Mordecai Ham was the preacher, and he heard the gospel, and he placed his faith in Jesus Christ that night. Billy Graham was ordained to the gospel ministry in 1939 by the Peniel Baptist Church in Palatka, Florida, and he attended the Florida Bible Institute, where he received a solid foundation in biblical studies. From there, he went on to Wheaton College, where he met his future wife, a fellow student by the name of Ruth McHugh, who was the daughter of a missionary surgeon. After graduation, Billy pastored a church for a little while, but then he joined the organization Youth for Christ, and their responsibility was to minister to youth and to servicemen, and that gave him the opportunity to preach across the United States and Europe in a post-war era. In 1949, Billy Graham became known worldwide for what God did through him in a Los Angeles crusade. The meetings were scheduled for 3 weeks. Those meetings lasted more than 8 weeks in a tent in downtown Los Angeles. He would later hold a crusade in London that lasted 12 weeks. And in 1957, hosted a crusade in Madison Square Garden that lasted 16 weeks. In his lifetime, Billy Graham has preached to over 215 million people in person. He's preached in over 185 countries. There's never been a time in my life when I wasn't aware of Billy Graham. And I have to confess to you this morning, when I knew that Billy Graham was coming on TV when I was a kid, I was disappointed because he was interrupting other programs and he was boring to me. I was a kid, okay, so don't hold it against me. But I'll never forget, honestly, the first time I saw clips of Billy Graham when he was young preaching. And I could not believe the difference. When Billy Graham was young, if you've never seen video of Billy Graham when he was young, he was fiery, very dynamic as a speaker. And probably as a young kid, if I'd have heard that Billy Graham, I'd have been enthralled. I would have paid attention. But God has used Billy Graham in a powerful way throughout his lifetime, and many people are in heaven because of his ministry. For all that I know about Billy Graham, I have to say to you this morning, I don't know Billy Graham. I know a lot of what he's done. I know a fair amount about him. But even if I could tell you his favorite color, his favorite verse, his favorite food, I would still not know the man because I don't have a relationship with him. Here is my fear this morning. I'm afraid that there are a number of folks here this morning that know a lot about Jesus, but don't know him, don't have a relationship with him. You know all about him. You even respect him and even appreciate what he's done, but you don't really know him. As we look at this text this morning that we've already read, I pray that God will open our eyes to honestly examine whether or not we really know Jesus or if we just know about him. I pray that we all want to really know him, not just know him from a distance, not just know Jesus like I know Billy Graham. So let's take a look at how to know if you really know him. First of all, you don't know him if you don't keep his commands. Now, that's not my idea. That's not my thoughts. This is what the Word of God tells us right here in 1 John. Now, before you go jumping off a cliff on me or something of that sort, hang in here with me and let me unpack this for a few minutes. John tells us in this passage that if we say that we know him and don't keep his commands, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. Jesus is the truth, and if we constantly go around and say that we belong to God but clearly live like we don't, then the proof of our actions says what the truth is. Our actions tell what's actually going on in our life. Don't think that I'm saying unless you're perfect that you're not a Christian. I'm not saying that at all. If that was true, then we'd all be in trouble because none of us is perfect. Well, except for Jeff. But the rest of us are not perfect. That is right, Anna. Didn't you tell me just the other day that Jeff is perfect? Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. I was making sure I got that straight. I don't think I have to convince anybody here that any of us, not a single one of us, is perfect. If you think that you're perfect, either ask your spouse or a good friend. They'll tell you honestly. They'll clear it up for you. Seriously, becoming a Christian doesn't mean you'll no longer struggle with sin. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean that you'll suddenly follow the Ten Commandments without flaw. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean that you'll always show grace and love and peace to those around you. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean that you'll always be patient and generous. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean that you'll never miss church and only listen to Christian music and wear Christian t-shirts. However, becoming a Christian does mean that the Holy Spirit moves into your life. And it does mean that you have a moral compass that you didn't before. Now, you may have been a very moral person before you became a Christian. But once God the Holy Spirit moves into your life, now all of a sudden, you understand morality in a deeper and a different way than you ever could have before because God has moved into your heart. Even if you were very moral, the Holy Spirit's going to change the way that you think. What John is telling us in this text is that the person that says that they know God yet can live in constant rebellion toward God doesn't really know God at all. God disciplines those he loves, and the discipline is hard to ignore if we really love him. I have to tell you the truth. I love my kids. I am not a person with hatred in my heart. But if you want to see some unbiblical things come out of me, then do something to harm one of my kids. It will become very unbiblical very quickly. It's not because I have hatred. It's not because I prefer to be angry towards someone else. It's because of my love for my kids. If the next phase for my ministry is a prison ministry, then that's okay. But I'm going to defend my children. With that being said, if my children do something that I know they shouldn't do, I'm also going to discipline them. Mm-hmm. Our Heavenly Father loves us enough to discipline us. He's going to do to us what needs to be done in our life because of His love for us. And because of His love for us, He hates sin. You can say, well, God's just a cosmic killjoy. He doesn't want us to have any fun. No, the reality is God knows what will hurt you. He knows what will bring harm to your life. He knows what will destroy you. Therefore, He hates that kind of sin. He hates those things. He hates sin of any kind because it destroys us, because it keeps us from Him. When you're not a Christian, you're not going to experience God's correction. You're not going to experience His discipline in your life. Because He does that for those He loves, for those who belong to Him already, those who are His children. Therefore, you can live in sin without it eating a hole in your heart, without it causing you to feel distant from God because you don't know what it feels like to be close to God in the first place. Our sin creates distance, not because God's moved from us, but because we've moved from Him. However, the person that has never walked with God in the first place doesn't know what's missing. They just know that something is missing, but they think they know God when they only know about God. I have to say to you this morning, I am not one of those men who thinks that chicken salad is a lady's dish. All right? Now, I know some of you men think that. You think if it says salad, that means it's a lady's dish, okay? But I don't think that chicken salad is a lady's dish. I grew up eating chicken salad, and I grew up eating Southern chicken salad, and Southern chicken salad is supposed to have eggs and pickles in it. Okay, those of you who are Southern in the room, you understand, you know what I'm talking about. I was an adult before I ever experienced chicken salad that didn't have pickles and eggs in it. And somebody put grapes and apples in it. And I mean, looking at it, I was like, what did they do to this salad? Surely this is on a law book somewhere. There is something criminal about this. But being polite, because I was raised by a Southern mom, I ate it. And you know what I found? I liked it. It was good. Recently, for some time, Janice and I had been hearing about this chicken salad restaurant that was down in the Atlanta area, Marietta, Kennesaw. There's actually one in Alpharetta as well, called Chicken Salad Chick. So we had seen about this, and we said, well, we're just going to have to go try that out. So one of the advantages of these trips we've had to make back and forth to Emory is that we pass by one. There's one at exit one, if you're wondering, off of 575 Barrett Parkway there. So we go to this place called Chicken Salad Chick, and they've got like 15 different chicken salads. And I am not exaggerating. You can get the traditional southern chicken salad if you want with the eggs and the pickles in it. You can get that kind. If you like your chicken salad hot, you can get chicken salad with jalapenos in it. If you like your chicken salad manly, you can get it with bacon, cheddar cheese, and ranch in your chicken salad. And if you want the apples and the grapes in your chicken salad, you can get that at Chicken Salad Chick. My favorite one has, guys, don't give me a hard time about this, but my favorite one has cranberries and almonds in it. And it has a very masculine name. It's called Cranberry Kelly. That's masculine, isn't it? And by the way, if you don't like chicken salad, they do have other things, but they also have a great pimento cheese. And if you're truly Southern, you appreciate good pimento cheese. This is not the plastic container kind you find in the grocery store. This is like the homemade stuff, okay? Good pimento cheese. But they have some great chicken salad. But I have to say this, since I have eaten at Chicken Salad Chick, some of the chicken salads that I thought were good before, I got to be honest, they're just not as good. Since I've had that one, since I've had theirs, I hesitate to say this in church, but they are chicken salad heaven. It's where all good chicken salads go. Because it is good stuff. So some of the others that I used to like before, they're kind of, now they just don't compare. Here's the thing. When you know Jesus Christ and you really know him, nothing else compares. There is no substitute, not even close. I can find some chicken salad that's good chicken salad without going to Chicken Salad Chick, but when it comes to Jesus, there is nothing else. Nowhere else. Not even close. If you can sin and not miss Jesus, listen, if you can live in sin and not miss Jesus, you don't know him. If he's in your life, you cannot live in sin and be happy. There will be a constant discontent in your life. There will be a gnawing within you, knowing that what you're doing is wrong until you confess it and turn back to God. When he's real in you, he will work in your life to draw you to himself so that you can have that fellowship with him that he wants so desperately. And the reality is, the only thing you have to do is ask his forgiveness. The only thing you have to do is admit that you're in sin and turn back to him. He's already there waiting on you. You see, here's the thing. You can't sort of live like a Christian. You just can't sort of live like a Christian. That is not a Christian life. The Christian life is giving your heart to Christ, trusting in him and allowing him to grow you. Don't allow any of that pride or anything else to keep you from him. Trust in him and know that he will save you. You don't know him if you don't keep his commands. But secondly, you do know him if you keep his commands. Now, I know that's earth-shattering. You didn't see that one coming at all, did you? I mean, this is not rocket surgery here. I said rocket surgery on purpose. Some of you got that. Some of you will laugh in the car on the way home. I have a confession to make for some of you this morning. This is going to be disheartening, and I'm sorry for that, but this is the truth. Hold on to your seat. I have been in the ministry over 29 years, and I'm standing up here as pastor in this church this morning, and I have never attempted to memorize the Ten Commandments. Wow. Are you okay? Do you want to take my ordination papers off the wall from my office? Some of you are thinking, how could he be a pastor and not memorize the Ten Commandments? Let me share a little truth with you about keeping the Ten Commandments. If you're pursuing God, you won't have to pay attention to what every one of them says because he'll change your heart. I have Ten Commandments. You can go in my office. I have them on my wall. If I were to take the time now, yes, I could probably recall Three of them. I mean, no. I'm kidding. That was a joke. That was definitely a joke. I could probably recall all 10 of them. Maybe. But the point is, when we allow Christ into our life, when we allow Him into us, He changes us from the inside out. Therefore, when it comes to the Ten Commandments, we begin to follow them without having to think about it because He's changing us. He's transforming us. You remember when Jesus asked what the most important commandment was? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And He said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, if you focus on those things, the rest of it takes care of itself. Because it really is about loving God first. When we love God first, we're going to do the things that we ought to do. We're not going to have to remember not to use the Lord's name in vain when God is first in our life. We're not going to have to remember not to bear false witness against our neighbor when God is first in our life. You see, when God is first, we love Him with every ounce of our being, and we're going to be changed by that relationship. We're going to be different because He is in our lives. We're going to be different and changed for the better. Now, I will confess, I am a bit of an oddity. Some of you are already questioning my manhood because I mentioned chicken salad in a sermon. I like sports. I like sports a lot. I'm a huge baseball fan. I'm a huge golf fan. I like college football. On basketball, but I like sports. I do watch basketball some, but it's just not my thing. But I like guns. Some of you, I'm sorry that offends you, but I do. I like guns. I like knives. I have a case knife in my pocket right now. I like four-wheel drive trucks, even though I don't own one. So I'm saying all those manly things to say I also like Broadway musicals. I'm sorry, man, I do. I was a music major in college, so I owe that statement to that. But the first Broadway musical I ever saw, I was in college, and I was actually with our choir from college. We were in New York City, and I saw Les Mis on Broadway in 1989. And I'll have to admit, sitting there in the mezzanine of that theater and watching Les Mis, I was hooked. It was a great show. I loved the music about it. It didn't hurt that there were several battle scenes in Les Mis. That was a good thing. But I've learned to appreciate and enjoy musicals. And one of my more recent musicals that I really enjoy is the musical Wicked. Now, I haven't seen it in New York City, but I have seen it twice in other theaters. And I've really enjoyed it. There's some songs in that musical that I really enjoy. One of the songs in there is pretty funny. It's called Popular. In this particular instance, Glinda, who's one of the characters, is teaching one of the other characters, Elphaba, about all the reasons why she should want to be popular, about why that's a good thing. And it's funny. If you heard it, you'd enjoy it. It's just one of those things that you kind of crack up at. But later in the show, there's a moment where Glinda and Elphaba are about to part ways because of events going on around them. And their friendship has had an impact on both of them, but their choices have put them on opposite sides of things. And I'm going to share with you just the words of what Glinda sings to Elphaba in this moment. And she says, I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led to those who help us most grow if we let them. And we help them in return. Well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today because I knew you. Like a comet pulled from orbit as it passes the sun, like a stream that meets a boulder halfway through the wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better, but because I knew you, I've been changed for good. The point of the song, of course, is that her life has been changed by knowing Elphaba, whether for better or not, definitely for good, meaning that she'll never be the same again. It is true that people come into our lives and change us for good, though not always for better. Some people change our lives forever in a negative way. And then others come along and change our lives in a positive way. One thing you need to know about truly knowing Jesus in your life is that He will change your life for eternity, and it will always be for better, always for your good. You are created by God for His purposes. If we truly know Jesus, then we will keep His commands. The path for us as true followers of Christ is laid out plainly in verse 6. The one who says he remains in Him should walk just as he walked. The true test of the follower is to follow. I know that's profound. Your mind is completely blown by that deep statement. My cognitive skills this morning have truly overwhelmed you. Our mark as a follower will be shown by who we're following. If we're following the world, it will be evident in our life. If we're following Christ, that too will be evident in our lives. I'm not a deep thinker. I'm a simple-minded guy. And if we say that we love God, then we'll follow God. We'll walk as He walks. If we reduce that to its essential minimum, that means that we will always put God first. We will love Him with every ounce of who we are and put others ahead of ourselves. There's a simple acrostic I heard years ago that's J-O-Y, joy. Jesus first, others second, you last. Simply put, we put Him first, we put others ahead of ourselves, and then we honor God by taking care of the bodies He's entrusted to us. If that desire is not in you, then I can assure you it is not true about you. If you don't want to put God first, then you don't know Him. You're not following Him. If you have no real desire to truly seek Jesus, if you have no desire to put others ahead of yourself, then you're sitting here today, perhaps even as a church member, without Christ as your Savior. It really does come down to this. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? If you don't believe that He rose from the dead, then He's just another man. Just good moral thoughts, good moral teaching, but just another man. But here's a major, major problem with that. Jesus said of Himself that He was the Son of God. He said of Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. He said those things about Himself, and if He was not the Son of God, then He is also not a good man because He lied. However, He wasn't lying because He was the Son of God. And He proved it on the third day, the day that we're celebrating today, the resurrection. When He walked out of that grave in His own power, He proved that He was indeed the Son of God. If it had ended at the cross, He'd have been just another martyr, just another man. But it didn't end there because He was the Son of God. And 3 days after being crucified on a cruel cross, He walked out of a grave under His own power. And then He appeared to so many. And we have eyewitness account of the fact that Jesus rose from the grave. That's what we celebrate today. A risen Savior. My question to you this morning, have you acknowledged that in your life? Have you said that Jesus is alive? The truth is, if we don't have God in our life, we're going to spend our eternity separated from God in hell. That's not my opinion, folks. That's what the Word of God says, ultimately cast into a lake of fire. But it's His will that none should perish. It's His desire that none would die, that none would be separated from Him. He wants you to spend eternity with Him. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. That won't happen unless we place our faith in Him. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. That's the Word of God. He loved you so much that He was willing to leave heaven and come to earth for you. What have you done with Jesus in your life? Every one of us has to answer that question. And I've got bad news for you. To simply ignore it is to answer it, is to say no. I don't believe He's who He said He is. So until we answer it in the affirmative, until we say, yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, He is the only way I can be saved. Yes, I'm placing my faith in Him. That's the only way we can have eternal life. Anything other than that is not the real thing. I pray that you settle that issue in your life. If you're here this morning and you've not, don't let this Easter Sunday, this resurrection day go by without placing your faith in Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You so much for Your love. I thank You for the joy of celebrating the resurrection today. And God, I pray that our hearts and minds would be in tune with You right now. And for anyone who's here who's struggling with that thought of admitting their sin and crying out to You as Savior, God, I pray You'd give them the courage they need right now. Lord, there's not a better decision they can make today than to ask Your forgiveness. Lord, for each of us as followers here, as Your children, God, I pray that our hearts would be open before you right now, and anything we've allowed to build up in our life and stand in the way of that fellowship, we confess it and lay it at your feet. Lord, there are folks here with burdens and hurts that you're fully aware of, and Lord, you've been trying to minister in their lives, and they haven't been willing to give those things to you. So I pray for us as believers, God, help us to lay those things at your feet today, to trust it to you. God, whatever you want to do in this service right now, whatever you need to do in our hearts right now, we trust this invitation to you and ask you to have your way in this place. May you be glorified. It's in your precious name we pray these things. Amen.